Hello and welcome to another mini episode of The Right Question, a radio program and podcast featuring authors from the American West and beyond. The Right Question is supported in part by Humanities Montana and members of Montana Public Radio, and by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. I'm Lauren Korn, speaking with National Book Award finalist Min Jin Lee, author of the novels Pachinko and Free Food for Millionaires. She's also the editor of the Best American Short Stories Anthology for 2023. Min Jin will be traveling to Kalispell, Montana for the Wacholtz College Center's WCC Speaker Series on March 18th. Min Jin, thank you so much for joining me today. Welcome to The Right Question.
Hi, Lauren. It's really wonderful to speak with you.
I'm so glad to be speaking with you. You are a self-proclaimed late bloomer, an author whose publishing success didn't happen right away. How did that timeline affect your craft? How did that change the way you write now? And how did it affect the way you view the title of artist or writer?
I think that I just take myself a lot less seriously than a lot of other people in terms of public persona, which I think is good. But however, privately, taking all that time to work on your craft has made me take myself a lot more seriously in terms of what I do. Because I don't care so much about what the world thinks, or I couldn't afford to really care too much about the world thinks, I was able to make sure that I got better. And there is a way to get better, and that is really through reading and writing and rewriting. So this is what I usually tell my students when I talk a lot about how do I get my book published. I usually say, what are you writing? And very often they don't really know. Or if I say, what are you reading? And often they don't know. And then I realize, well, let's not talk about publishing until you tell me what you want to say. Mm-hmm. And then how you want to say it.
Is there a tension for you between those identities, between the idea that you as a person just in the world don't really take yourself too seriously, but yet you take your craft really seriously? Is there an on and off switch that happens, or is it a little bit more natural than I'm making it out to be?
Well, I think that you're putting it really well that there's a tension. There is really a tension, and it was much easier to manage that tension when I wasn't a published author, and certainly when I became a more known as a public author and as somebody who could make a difference in certain different subjects. I have a very narrow wheelhouse. I write fiction. I write the kind of fiction that certain kinds of people read, but not everybody reads. So that gives me a kind of power in a certain field. However, in most of the world, most people don't read novels and they don't read long novels, so I'm free. And I think that the tension is a little bit more intense now. However, I have to say, if you are a book writer, especially the kinds of books that I write, it doesn't really matter what most people think because it doesn't really affect them. However, I do think that I am very, very grateful that I have quite a few readers in the world of the kinds of things that I write. So if you are interested in Korean history, most likely you will have had to have heard about my books. So then I have to deal with that audience, and therefore I have to be very responsible about what I say and what I do. And therefore that does increase more tension now. It hasn't always been the case. Mm-hmm. I'm much more thoughtful about my positions, what I say, and what I support. Mm-hmm. I have to be.
Yeah. Your novel, Pachinko, was both a National Book Award finalist and it was optioned and made into a television series on Apple TV. And I'm wondering, especially because you consider yourself a late bloomer, I'm wondering then how you define success in your world.
I think success for me is when I could write the things that I want to say and how I want to say it, very different things. I know what I want to say because I'm 55 and I'm pretty clear about what I believe, what I care about, how I want to say them. That's a craft question. And that's something that I'm constantly struggling with. Many, many writers have said this, that there's always this enormous gap between the wish versus the execution of the wish. And that's something that I think every artist, every craftsperson has to really consider in terms of the definition of success. I don't really consider myself a successful person in the world, but that's okay, because I think when you start thinking about those kinds of things, there's really no winning in that. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah. I want to go back to a word you used a minute ago. You really think and you are thoughtful about your responsibility as a writer of the certain kind of fiction that you write, this historical fiction that you write. The Best American Short Stories series editor, Heidi Pittler, wrote in the foreword to the anthology that you edited that you both share a desire to see authors supported and protected in our current culture. And I think that your support can be seen in the stories that you've chosen for the anthology and the fact that you decided to highlight the stories that you didn't choose in your introductory essay. But I'm always curious about care, the way that writers take care of themselves, and how they create space for, or space of care for others. So tell me, Minjin, about the ways that you create space or spaces of care and protection for others.
Well, I have to be strong in order for me to be strong for other people. And which means that I value my thoughts, my ideas, and my time. And I also value other people's time. I also value other people's well-being. I think those things are not mutually exclusive. I don't believe in a kind of economic mercantilist idea that there's only a finite amount of resources. There's quite a lot of resources in the world. Whether or not we choose to share them, that's another question.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to have the greatest capacity to help others, first I have to do my work, and I also have to do it well. Otherwise, there's no integrity in what I say. Very often, we purport to have integrity, we purport to have quality, but it's really difficult to achieve. I don't write that many books, I don't write that many articles. However, I stand by the things that I have written and that I will continue to write. And in that sense, I take very good care of myself. And I think those are my decisions based upon the way I work. And that's the other question that I think I often ask my students, which is, what do you stand for? How do you stand for them? And how will you stand for them? Not now, not just today, but actually for always. So I do think a great deal about tomorrow because I am somebody who's very well versed in history.
If I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that there is great necessity in taking care of oneself and strengthening one's own views and certainly outward views so that you can better create those spaces of care and protection for others.
Yes. I think that integrity, and by integrity, I really look to the root of the word integer, wholeness, as a way to continue. I don't believe in just self-care. I believe that self-care with a purpose of caring for others is the way society can work.
I so agree with you. I love that. I'm going to pivot really hard from the idea of self-care and caring, nurturing those spaces, to a Planet Money episode that you appeared on. And in this episode, it's revealed that you thought about becoming an economist before eventually being trained as a lawyer and then deciding to be a writer. And I think Mary Childs asked you a particular question that I'm going to ask you again. So forgive the repetitive nature of this particular question, but I want to ask you for the sake of our listeners here, what makes fiction, and maybe your particular fiction, the right avenue for exploring questions about economics and finance?
I think the kind of fiction that I write, whether it's in my first or my second book, and my third book will have a great deal about finance in it, because my next book is bracketed with the IMF crisis in Korea, as well as the financial crisis in the United States between 2007 and 2008 and following. I want to understand very seriously how money affects our choices and what money means in the world. Money is just a thing, a unit of currency that we use in order to exchange goods and services. However, it can also mean other things when we don't understand the true value of money. And the pure accumulation of money is something that's quite dangerous. The fact that an author is even talking about this in this kind of way about fiction is in many ways very unusual. And I'm an unusual writer in this way. I think if people aren't interested in those things, then that's okay. I'm also deeply interested in religion. And strangely enough, religion and money are also have a, quite a bit in common. So I write about religion, I write about economics, I write about money, I write about status and socioeconomic class. These are in many ways taboo subjects, no different than sexuality is a taboo subject. And again, those things are very meaningful to me. In order to have integrity, in order to be whole, all those aspects of a human character must be integrated. And for me, all those things are really important. And therefore, I focus on them and I try really hard to understand the multifactorial nature of a person's decision.
Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned this in the Planet Money episode, but the way that a person spends their money, a way that a person acts with or without money or in front of, in the face of money, it is a, and it's an expression of what they care about. And so, you know, I said that I'm going to pivot from self-care and care and nurturing those relationships, but really, you know, talking about economics, especially within the narrative of a novel or a short story, is just allowing readers to understand what your characters or you as an author care about.
That's very correct. Yeah. So, for example, if you believe in public radio, for example.
And I hope you do.
and I hope you do, dear listener. And this was not requested by anybody in public radio. If you support public radio financially, then you know that you believe in it. If you listen to public radio and you have the financial means to support it and you don't, then you believe that somebody else should support public radio. That is a decision. And that is a decision that you can make. I'm not interested whatsoever in shaming anybody about the way they spend their money. I'm much more interested in raising awareness as to how you spend your money. You can spend your money the way you need to spend your money. And I don't know what that is. However, I do think when you have something like a public radio or when you have public libraries, those things are supported by somebody. And who you choose and how you choose is and what you choose for are all relevant questions that I think that a writer of social realistic fiction is inquiring must raise those questions and also ideally represent them in drama.
I feel like your response was perfect. We're about to start our spring fundraising campaign in April. So I just want to like steal your words and throw them at our listeners later.
I really hope that the listeners, if they enjoy public radio, and I think public radio is so important in light of the fact that local news is dying all over this country and actually around the world. And therefore, public radio very often functions as a kind of local radio and local news. So I hope very much the listeners can support it if they have the means.
I appreciate you saying that. I want to return to the best American short stories of 2023. You write quite a lengthy essay as the introduction to that particular anthology. And you write that fiction requires audacity. And you've mentioned that you are writing still, you are writing new work. And I am curious about that. But I'd more like to go broadly or maybe a little bit more abstractly. I'd like to ask you about the ways that you've been audacious lately.
I did something really strange just a few weeks ago. A friend of mine who is the first Nepalese American fashion designer of a mainstream way was running a fashion show in New York Fashion Week. And he contacted me and said, would I be in his show? Would I walk the runway? And I said, no. I was like, I'm sorry, sweetheart. That's crazy.
Not for me.
Not for me. But there are many, many, many people that I could think of who are far better looking than I am, far thinner, et cetera, and also far more interested in doing something like that because it is an honor. I was flattered. And he made his case. And then he also had a friend of his call me, who I really love. And then I said, I need some time to think about it. And then I talked to my husband and I talked to my best friend from college. And they both said, oh, you have to do this. This is a meaningful thing. And of course, I questioned how much clothing costs and how exclusive that world is. And yet, I love my friend, and I think he's an artist, and he's worked so hard for the show. And I said, okay, I'll do it. So that's probably one of the craziest, most audacious things I've ever done, not because it's a bad thing or a good thing or anything of the sort, but I don't always walk around feeling that comfortable in my body. So for a woman who's 55 and postmenopause to walk in a runway for New York Fashion Week wearing a lot of makeup and having her hair done in a very strange way, for me, was very audacious because it's not in my personality.
How did it go?
It went fine. I didn't fall down. It was completely nutty. And yet I also felt like, oh, I did something that was very scary for me.
Yeah.
And I also thought that it's something that my characters could have done. And very often my characters do things that I would never, ever do. And it's very safe to write about it in a fiction kind of way. It's scary to write it, but at the same time, it's not as if I'm doing it. But this was a situation in which I felt I inhabited a role and I did it for all of 2 minutes and it went fine and I didn't embarrass anybody.
I feel like there are, at least in my mind, and I'm sure I could be corrected so instantly here, but I feel like there are so few instances in adult life where you are given the opportunity to do something that you're afraid of.
Well, I feel like I did something that was difficult. And I mean, in the scheme of life, it's probably not important or courageous and perhaps foolish or perhaps in some ways to other people embarrassing. But for me, for somebody who has had an eating disorder, for somebody who is 55, for somebody who has had great illness, like the fact that I've had all of these questions about my physicality as well as my mortality, to do something that was so public was, and also in front of a group that's known for being so judgmental about the body, was very scary. So yes, I did do that. I did not die. And and here I am now telling Montana about it.
How bold. I love that. I love that. I love knowing that about you. Minjin, you will be here in Montana, your physical self, in Kalispell on March 18th for the Wacholtz College Center's speaker series. What can attendees of that event look forward to hearing about?
Well, I'll be speaking with the students from Flathead Valley Community College. And it is something that I really thought a great deal about before accepting this kind of invitation, because I care about community colleges enormously. And also care about young people enormously. I also believe that higher education should be accessible to everybody. So I'll be talking about education. I'll be talking about writing, education in particular, because my current novel manuscript right now is about education. So I've done so much research on it. Anybody who wants to ask me anything can. And I'll also be talking a lot about writing. If anybody's interested in Korea, I happen to know quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But most likely I'll be talking about fiction.
I so appreciate you taking some time out of your day to talk with me. And hopefully it's not the last time we talk. Maybe we can talk in a more expanded form when your new book comes out.
Very much so. I hope so.
That was Minjin Lee, author of the novels Pachinko and Free Food for Millionaires, both of which are available now from Grand Central Publishing. Minjin was also the editor for the Best American Short Stories Anthology for 2023, out now from Mariner Books. Minjin will be traveling to Kalispell, Montana for the Wacholtz College Center's WCC Speaker Series on March 18th. For more information about that event and to purchase tickets, go to wacholtzcollegecenter.org. If you want to listen to this conversation again or share it with friends, it can be found online at mtpr.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You've been listening to a mini episode of The Right Question. This episode was produced by me. I'm your host, Lauren Korn. Chris Moyles engineered this episode. Our artwork was designed for The Right Question by Molly Russell, and our music was written and recorded by John Floridis. Funding for The Right Question is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Many thanks to Humanities Montana for supporting this program since 2008. And thank you for listening. The Right Question is a production of Montana Public Radio.